Do you know what? I don't exactly know where I'm standing. I will explain it and then you tell me where we are. Under a bridge, a beautiful big bridge.
It's huge, isn't it?
And on a very kind of steepish road leading into Newcastle. We're on the other side of the water from Gateshead. And we've just finished the Thinking Digital dinner. Hang on a second.
Sorry, Bobby, I'm not spare change, please.
Do you know what? I've just given it to the barman.
Oh, thanks anyways.
No worries. Okay. Okay.
Say again?
Nobody. Not
I
yet.
I am, like.
It's on my phone. It's just a recording.
All right. Just, I'm trying to get in the hostel at night, man.
I know. Good luck. You're gonna. There's loads of people out. You're gonna strike it rich. Anyway, we are standing under a bridge in Newcastle. There is a lot of people out tonight. It feels a little bit like a weekend. And who are you?
Hi, I'm Sam. Hi. Yeah, I'm under the bridge too.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
It's a
stonker of a bridge.
We stepped out here and you said, I was naked over there once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was. It was a little while ago. There was an artist chap taking photos of a load of us walking around naked. We stood outside the Sage. We stood on the Gateshead Millennium Bridge up here, just at the bottom of Grey Street, and took photos. It was funny because at the time, it was an extremely human experience. Like, everyone was giggling and laughing. It was funny. But the photos, when you saw them, they were really clinical and really not at all human. There was an interesting, huge disparity between the feeling of being there in that moment and sort of this crazy moment with other people, 6 o'clock in the morning, and then the pictures there. It was crazy, yeah. A while ago, though, that now.
So art, obviously, a huge part of your life. Today, I mean, definitely one of the highlights of Thinking Digital to me so far, because I had absolutely no preconceptions. When you got up, I didn't know you were going to A, start live coding, B, so proficiently assemble what felt like a physical object hitting me in the eardrums, which was the composition you created, which... I don't know if just drum and bass ever been called a composition. It sounds like I'm talking about classical. Some really good sounds.
Thank you very much. That's very kind to hear. Yeah.
tell me what you were doing precisely.
You know, I guess maybe people haven't even heard the word live coding before. You know, like, and in the same way, it's even more esoteric because people don't know what coding is. Never mind live coding. But actually, I think live coding is a way to demonstrate and get people into coding. And coding is where you write text. And it's text like you might write a letter, but it's more like text where you might write a set of instructions, say, of how to bake a cake or how to get from A to B, which roads to go down and which directions to take. And I'm writing instructions in text that the computer can read and understand and then turn into sounds. And so it's just a matter for me to choose the right text to make the right sounds. And that's coding, that's programming. But where I take that a step further and where I think it gets really exciting, certainly for me, is the ability to write that text and modify it whilst it's still running. So it's kind of like asking someone to play the bass line that you've just described, and then whilst they're playing it, say, actually, can you change key, or can you go faster, can you go slower? And as long as you know the right text to write to make those commands, then the computer does it for you.
For those that understand what live coding is, give me some of the commands. I mean, I saw loop, I saw, well, all kinds of...
Yeah, so, I mean, there are many systems for live coding. I've made my own, and I made the commands as simple as possible so that I can go to primary schools and teach kids how to code. And so the kind of commands I was looking at and using was the word play, which is to make a note, and the word sample, which is to play a pre-recorded sound, of which there are a bunch of built into my system, something called Sonic Pi. But you could take your own samples and record them and play them back. And then there's a really nice command called sleep, which allows you to tell the computer to wait for a bit of time between things. So if I wanted to make a melody, I'd say, play the first note, sleep for a bit of time, play the second note, sleep for a bit of time. And so by choosing different notes to play and different times to sleep for, I could make essentially most of Western notation, which is just those dots on a stave.
Now, while you were doing this, of course, there's a couple of glitches, but ultimately, I felt that you were on beat, it flowed. If I was in a club, I wouldn't have known that you were hand-coding this in a way. I'm glad I did, because it was ultimately way more impressive than you sliding sliders and twisting knobs. The fact you type on time, it kicked out there. I mean, this is something you've done for a while, I think.
I've been writing live coding systems for about 4 years, or 5 years. Yeah, this one I've been writing for 2 years. So,
give us I mean, you're on a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah. Tell us. So this is a £30 computer. This is the thing. It's like you don't need to have an expensive computer. This is £30. You can do everything I did today on a £30 computer called the Raspberry Pi. And the software I've written is something called Sonic Pi, which is entirely free as well. So, what I'm trying to do is lower the barrier to entry for people having a crack at this and having a good time.
What's the point in a shared culture if we can't share that culture?
This is precise as well. And also, how do we as a culture improve if we can't teach each other stuff? And if we have a way of sharing the knowledge, as in this way, in this case, my composition is a piece of text, I can just email it to you. And you can cut and paste into your Sonic Pi and hear the same thing. And then you can make some modifications, email it me back, and I've got your... We're having a conversation like we have with email, but through music.
I was on the front row trying to keep my body still, and yet I leant over and I said to Herb, all the music from Thinking Digital next year has to be written on the Raspberry Pi. Because there was absolutely no reason. I mean, the samples that you were using were all open source and the rest of it. There was some... It was really, really good stuff. It wasn't just... I mean, on 8-bit and kind of some of the glitch music that I've heard, you can tell... It's glitch, not necessarily mainstream. It sounded like really good mainstream. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it would have been acceptable to the uninitiated tech head.
I think so. I was using a combination of some nice samples and also some synthesizers, which I built myself with language, which are emulating like sort of 90s dance music. So your TB-303s and your Prophets.
TB-303s. I nearly bought one on eBay.
And then modifying
the
cutoff filters and changing them. And so it gives this sort of real dance feel to it, which is something that people understand and it makes sense to them. So, yeah.
Where can people find some of your music?
So I'm starting to actually create an album, and I'm starting to actually create the music in a way that's distributed. At the moment, it's disparated around the internet, various places. So I don't really have a place yet for it.
On Twitter, you are?
Sam Aaron, SamAaron.
Your software that people can download and try now?
Sonic-Pi.net is the website to get it. Yep. And if you have a Raspberry Pi, it's there by default, so you just open it up.
I've got it. I have got it. When I installed it, I was like, and now I kind of... You've gave me this amazing demo. I'm so going to get into it. There's something about...
And I haven't written it for myself, right? This whole point, and people are listening to this, I've written it for you. And I've written it for you to have a go, for you to have a go to learn to code, for you to learn to have a go making music. And it's not necessarily to make the best music in the world, although that would be great if you could. It's more about making the kind of music that you're going to enjoy.
The beautiful thing is, when I was a kid with my Spectrum 48K, I was writing pages and pages.
Copying them for a manual.
And then it was not until you get to the end you get the reward.
Yeah.
Whereas
if
you're getting instant rewards from every line you type.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
beautiful. So I'm taking this thing into schools and using it to teach computer science and music. And if you don't have the fast feedback, that ability to write something and quickly get the rewards, kids are not engaged, not excited by it. So it's really, really important, that part.
Sam, thank you so much for sharing on so many different levels.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, thank you.